Most of us have grown up hearing the phrase, you must be born again. Some of us even know that it was something that Jesus uttered to a leading Jewish ruler, Nicodemus. We've even known that it has inspired almost a political category, born again Christian, as in Jimmy Carter ran for president as a born again Christian. But have we, who have heard this phrase all our life, you must be born again, ever really paused to ask ourselves, what does it mean? To help put that question in perspective, let me quote from a science fiction novel about a space alien that was sent throughout the galaxy to explore life around the universe and stopped in on Earth and then issued a report back to his superior. Tell me about human beings, his superior asked. And this explorer answered, well, they're meat. They're meat. We picked up various specimens, human specimens throughout their planet, and they're all meat. They're meat through and through. Wait a second, he said. What about those radio signals we sent? Oh, those came from machines. Well, who made the machines? That's who we want to contact. The meat made the machines. You're asking me to believe in thinking meat? I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. We examined the whole area of their created order, and they're the only sentient creatures, and they're meat through and through. Maybe they just go through a meat phase. Nope, they're born meat and they die meat. Do they have a brain? You're not understanding, are you? Yes, they have a brain, but the brain is meat too. You're asking me to believe in thinking meat. Thinking meat, loving meat, dreaming meat. The meat is all there is. Now, that space alien's definition of us has some degree of accuracy. But their probing scientific instruments could not fathom a key element of the human being. Those probing scientific instruments could not quite detect the spiritual dimension that helps define every human creature. They missed what makes us fully human is not just that we have a material physical body, but we also have a spiritual soul that's caught up at part of our whole being. When you look at the text for the day, you realize Nicodemus's meat is doing great. He's a member of the Sanhedrin, so he has prestige, he has power, he has influence. He's rich, he's well connected. We would say, looking at his resume, his meat is doing fine. But his spirit, his soul, is unfulfilled. It is curious. It is restless. And how do we know that? Because this man who from the outside seems to be doing perfectly fine comes to this rabbi by night that he knows is considered an outlaw by his peers. And the fact that Nicodemus knows he is an outlaw is the fact that he will only come to Jesus by night. But he asked them a question that reflects the emptiness in his soul. How can I see the kingdom of God? And Jesus gives him a confounding answer. You must be born again. You must be born anew. And Nicodemus is a very intelligent man. He is used to elevated discussions. And he wants to show his intellect to this rabbi by extending the metaphor to its logical absurdity to show how inadequate it is as an answer to his question. Oh, how can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? That's ridiculous. And Jesus answers him, you're thinking like meat. You're thinking the meat is all there is. But you're not just meat. You are also spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But you need to be born of the spirit. For that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And thoroughly confused, Nicodemus says, how can this be? Jesus is trying to alert Nicodemus to the fact that our lives experience simultaneous arcs. Arcs that are going in different directions. Our meat, our physical material bodies start to die as soon as we're born. We're born, we mature, we climax, we decline, we die. That's the arc of all flesh. But Jesus is alerting Nicodemus to the fact that those who are spiritual creatures are simultaneously going through the opposite arc. Paul said with great insight, if you are in Christ, you are being made a new creature. At the end of Revelation, there's a vision where the voice from the throne, our Lord, says, behold, I make all things new. New. So even as our bodies are in one arc of aging, climaxing, declining, and ultimately expiring, our spiritual bodies are on an opposite arc of being made newer. Newer in Christ through a long gestation period that lasts all of our lives and beyond. For we're not just meat. We are spiritual creatures. Now, maybe all this sounds abstract and ethereal, so let me kind of bring it down. Think of Mr. A and Mr. B. Mr. A and Mr. B work in the same firm. They go to the same church. They attend the same Y. And Mr. A is working hard in his cubicle on a project because he wants it to come to fruition so he can gain a promotion that will feed his self-esteem. Mr. B is working in his cubicle to work his project to fruition because he wants to maximize the gifts that God has given him. Mr. A completes that promotion, gains that promotion, gets a raise, and he tithes part of it because he needs a tax break. Mr. B finishes his project, gains a promotion, gets a raise, and tithes it. Because he wants to give glory to God. And by the way, our financial secretary will cash both checks. Mr. A goes to the Y because his pants are a little snug. Mr. B goes to the Y because he senses that his body is a gift from God that has to be trained and nurtured and treated like a temple. Now, from the outside, Mr. A and Mr. B are doing exactly the same thing. But their motivations are completely different. Mr. A is fed by motivations that are superficial and ephemeral. He is energized by the shallow. Mr. B's actions are energized by the thought that everything he does is a spiritual act. Whether it's going to the grocery store or driving down the road or working at the Y or working in his cubicle or singing a hymn. It's all a spiritual journey. Everything is expression of his communication and relationship with the divine. Mr. B lives with the acknowledgement that he is a spiritual creature. From time to time, I meet someone and I invite them to church, and they respond, "Well, I'm more spiritual. I'm not religious." And I want to say, of course you're spiritual. You're a human being. By nature, you are spiritual. And when someone says, "Oh, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious," what they're really saying is like saying, "Well, I'm athletic, but I don't do sports. I'm athletic, but I don't train." When someone says, "Oh, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious," what they're really saying is, "Yes, spirituality is a part of me, but I'm not going to do anything to develop that part of my being. Yes, I'm spirit. But I'm not going to acknowledge or nurture that dimension of who I am." All children reach an age when they ask their parents questions not to get answers, but to give answers. I remember one of my 6-year-old twins saying to me, "Daddy, do you know why we can't swim as fast as dolphins?" "No, son. It's because they practice it more." Well, I said, "Well, couldn't it be that it's because dolphins are designed for water and we're not?" And he shrugged and said, "That's the same thing." The point I was trying to make to him was the point that Jesus was making to Nicodemus. You were designed to be a spiritual creature. Dolphins were designed to swim because they know that they're designed for water and they must swim in order to live. We are designed for God. We are designed to commune with God. And we must commune with God if we're truly going to be the human being we're meant to be, because we're spiritual creatures. Jesus used a very appropriate image. You must be born again. Because birth is not instantaneous. The gestation of a human being is long and encumbering and sometimes uncomfortable. Isn't that right, Catherine Ladson? The gestation of a fully developed soul takes a long time. It's not without pain. It's not without encumbrance. It's not without burden. It's not without cost. But the more complex the creature, the longer the period of gestation. Just because a baby is born doesn't mean it's ready for life. It has to be nurtured and nourished. Walking down an aisle does not instantly make you a fully developed spiritual creature. It's just the start of a long process of gestation that lasts the whole of our lives and maybe beyond. A fruit fly is a fruit fly as soon as it's born. But the human soul has to be nurtured in Christ over the course of a long pilgrimage to be fully birthed into the kingdom. None of us planned our birth. None of us brought ourselves into being. So we have to consciously embrace our spiritual dimension. We are spiritual creatures, but we have to recognize it. We have to acknowledge it. And we have to nurture and cultivate our spirituality. But just as a baby who is born and goes through life developing a grander appreciation for the mystery and complexity of being, so too as we grow in faith, as we mature in spirituality, we become aware of the grander themes, the timeless truths, the eternal verities, the inexhaustible energy of God's kingdom of the Spirit. A few of you in here might recognize the name of Dag Hammarskjöld. He was the first secretary of the UN, first general secretary of the United Nations. Brilliant, aristocratic, reserved Swedish diplomat. And many thought he was so aristocratic, so refined, that he had to have been an agnostic. But when his plane crashed in Africa, they found that tucked inside his coat pocket was a copy of Thomas A Kempis's The Imitation of Christ. And they found in his apartment this detailed, long, spiritual journal that he kept. And in that journal were these words: I said yes and experienced meaning. I repeated that yes, and everything gained a meaning. And if everything has meaning, how can you not continue to say yes? Dag Hammarskjöld noted over the course of his journal, it was his spiritual pilgrimage that gave him the spiritual strength to be an instrument for peace among troubled people in a troubled world. We're called, we're designed, we're intended to say yes to God. We're intended to say yes to God and realize that everything we do has a spiritual dimension, an underlining meaning that contributes to the development of our soul and our relationship with God. And when we say that yes, when we engage in that pilgrimage, then we are born again. Born again does not mean that you're some spiritual fanatic. It means that you acknowledge you are a spiritual creature, created by God, designed by God, nourished by God, and ultimately called to God. That's what it means to be born anew. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, we have been birthed into a physical, material world. But you have called us to be birthed into a spiritual world, to claim our status as spiritual creatures, and in so doing discover who we truly are. Through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. As a spirit